Across Tamworth and the Northwest Slopes and Plains, you're waking up to 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley.
And we're back. And we have Tony Ambrogetti here. Hello, Tony. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Peter. I'm well, thanks. How
Excellent.
Are you?
Excellent. I'm very well, thank you. You've had a lovely weekend.
Yeah, pretty chill.
Yeah, good. Did you cook anything? Did you bake over the weekend?
I didn't really know. I made a beautiful looking grazing platter for some Saturday afternoon nibbles.
Isn't there an Italian word for that? What's charcuterie? What's that?
Oh, yeah, that's like...
Was it a charcuterie like plate?
Yeah. Well,
you don't eat meat, do you?
There was a little bit of meat on there for the meat eaters that came, but no, it wasn't really one of those. More like grazing, because there was a bit of everything. There was like cheese, dip, crackers, sweets, carrots.
That's just a nibbly tray.
Yeah, a nibbly tray, but you put it on a wooden board and it looks all fancy.
Oh, right,
and
okay. Yeah. Did you do a swoosh of dip?
No, absolutely not.
We want to eat everything
that's on there.
What sort of dip did you have?
We had two. One was like a warmed spinach artichoke dip.
Oh, my God. But homemade?
No.
No. Warmed? What was it? You warmed it up?
Yeah, it's like a hot dip. It's really yummy.
You can buy hot dips. I did not know that.
Yeah. And the other one was like a roasted capsicum and some kind of nut.
Cashew, probably. I know that one.
Yeah. Delicious.
They are delicious. Have you ever made that one where you get the loaf of bread and you put the...
Like a cob dip?
Yeah.
Yeah. When I lived in America, that was like the dip.
Yeah, it's the dip here too, everyone. Whenever you say, right, everyone just bring something. Someone will always bring that.
17 cob loaves.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the thing for the new millennium. What's happening in the news today?
Well, over the weekend, there were some discussions. I mean, it's been happening for a little while, but... Obviously, the borders being closed has made it really rough for some people in the agricultural industry because we have a lot of seasonal workers that come into Australia and fill those roles of picking and shearing and planting.
Yeah.
So, the federal agricultural minister, David Littleproud, he was on the ABC's Insiders program yesterday and he did say that they're working with the industry and National Cabinet to allow a special visa program to bring people in. So
it's as easy as this. Well, the borders are closed now to close it, but if to make any kind of sensible alteration to that, there needs a whole couple of layers of bureaucracy.
Yes.
It just drives me nuts, this.
Well, there are huge implications around like biosecurity. So the previous to the last, a lot of outbreaks of COVID-19, the outbreaks were coming from overseas. So from a pandemic response plan, the border closure is imperative to remain on a good track.
External border, yeah.
Yes, exactly. So
I've got no issue with the external border closure, by the way.
Oh, that's what this is about.
The state border ones.
Well, this is about the external border closure because it's international people that are coming in to help out with picking and planting and shearing.
So there's no picking and planting to be done in Queensland or anything like that?
There is. So they
do they not move from state to state when they come here? They do.
Some do, some don't. I think traditionally it would be like backpackers and they can get their visas extended if they go and do a stint out there.
Yeah.
So they generally just have so many people willing to do it that they don't do more than one lot. They just go and do it for that at that one farm. I have a friend actually who's right now in Queensland, in Innisfail, picking, planting, things like that, and he's just horrified at the amount of snakes. But
well, they're horrified at one. If there's one, they're like,
do you know what though?
They don't have snakes.
He sent me about four videos anyway. In the last month of like really big snakes, and even I'm grossed out. But David Littleproud did say yesterday that they will be having a special visa program, and that's going to assist a lot of people in this area too who have wool farms and they need people to come and do shearing. And so shearing's a very highly skilled thing. So whilst there's those layers of bureaucracy, it should be quite easy once you nominate and get in touch with your people.
No, sorry, I fired up about border closures. I was talking about internal borders, which makes me crazy, some of that stuff that's going on.
Yeah, I can see both sides of things, but I think that in 2020, like, nothing really in Australia is making within sense. One state. Well, yeah, that too. Right. But I mean, nothing functions within one state. Like, for example, I purchased a bed here in Tamworth, but it's being made in Victoria, and that's just totally normal because that's where it's being made, and it would never have been an issue until now.
Yeah, and now, have you got it yet?
No, I don't.
You're still on the interim solution. Well done from the...
Yes, but the local 40 Winks, they're absolutely amazing, and they're getting me sorted whilst we wait good, for Victoria.
Yeah, so you've got something to sleep on. Yeah, yeah, that's terrific. What about the Masked Singer?
Yes, well, I don't remember who I was talking to. However, last week, I have some friends who are dancing on that show.
Okay.
And they were posting a lot of videos on their social media out and about in Melbourne. And I just thought to myself, this is totally inappropriate when you're in a locked down state. They're also from Sydney. So very interesting that they had to fly people from Sydney to Melbourne. There are a lot of dancers in Melbourne.
I'm sure there are. Yeah.
So I just don't understand a lot of the choices that have been
Maybe
made.
Maybe a lot of them have got a bit more self-respect than to go on a show like The Masks.
No. I mean, I could speculate on what it would be. However.
Anyway, they're locked down now.
Yeah, they're locked down now. Seven production crew tested positive, which is not great
Everyone's turned off. When I first heard that article, I thought that they said they've closed down the production of The Masked Singer. And I thought they were going to say, because they've woken up to themselves.
Oh, Peter. But it was big. It's a great show. It's a great engaging show. People sit at home and they awful. Think, who is it? It's mindless. I know who it is.
Yeah, I know. And Danny Minogue gets up and goes, oh, that's my favourite song. She's had four favourite songs in this series
far. I think that the reaction from the judges is like way over dramatic. But I do think the format's really engaging for people at home.
Who do you think it is? I think it's Meghan Markle. And you know it's just going to be some C-grade celebrity from Australia. But they doesn't stop them guessing Will Ferrell or...
Well, they need to fill the airtime,
Peter. Yeah, well, that's my whole point about this show. They're doing it because they need to fill the airtime, not because they have something interesting to say. As Confucius once said, men...
Fill the airtime.
Yeah, fill the airtime. Intelligent man speaks because he has something to say. Idiot speaks because he has to say something. And that sums up that show.
That sums up a lot of commercial television, to be honest.
You're right.
Get your day underway with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley on Tamworth's own 1287 2TM.
Well, another show has been shut down. Of course, The Masked Singer got shut down the other day. Now, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Millionaire Hot Seat has been shut down as well because they share the same... facilities down there at Docklands in Victoria. So they've shut Eddie down now as well. All these times we've been trying to shut Eddie down. Turns out he's been shut down by the virus now. And people are angry in Victoria at the moment with both of those shows as well being allowed to go ahead. In fact, because seven cases have been linked to The Masked Singer so far, of course. There's no doubt that is going to increase with seven of the crew coming down with it. It's going to be only a matter of time before we see some more coming out of that. But they weren't. The difference between that and the NRL continues. The NRL is living in a bubble. They're not allowed to have contact with anybody in the outside world. Of course, The Masked Singer was allowed to keep going ahead as an essential service. It's the least essential service ever, isn't it? Seven cases linked to the... Perhaps apart from this show, I know you. Well, I know what you're thinking. Seven cases linked to The Masked Singer, struggling to see how a celebrity singing contest was considered an essential service. People's loved ones are dying alone. We're all making huge sacrifices. Staggering, this show was allowed to continue filming during stage four lockdown. And that sentiment has been repeated in a number of other social media posts. But they're shut down now, so... of course, the Victorian Premier and Chief Health Officer yesterday defended the decision to allow The Masked Singer to film in Melbourne. They should have just put him in the bubble like the NRL. The NRL's been really, I mean, for all of their faults and all of their stuff that they do wrong, they're actually been the blueprint for keeping things like this entertainment. And look, entertainment is probably an essential service, I reckon. You can't have a complete lockdown and then just not have The Masked Singer all right, you could not have the masked singer, but you can't have a complete lockdown and no entertainment either. It's difficult enough now. You remember when they didn't have the NRL, how starved we were of sport? They didn't have the NRL, the AFL, or any kind of sport going on there at the moment. But they do now, and they've done it very, very carefully, and they've done an excellent job of it. And anyone who even has a sniff of outside, such as Wayne Bennett, has to do the 14 days. You know, of course, the Brisbane coach, who they've just offered, I heard on the news, they've just offered him $1 million, Seibold, to get out of there. If I'm him, I don't think I take that. I say, no, I can turn this club around, and you've got to back yourself. I reckon Anthony Seibold, he's had a lot of horrible things going around on social media about him and things like that. Is he well liked by the players? I don't know. But if he turns tail and runs now, does he get another job? I don't think he does. I don't think he'll get another job elsewhere, anywhere in rugby league after that. So perhaps it's time for him to batten down the hatches and just ride this out and see what he can do about coaching the Brisbane side, get all the team together, see what he can do about, you know, getting them back on track for next year. Obviously, this year's gone.
Tamworth Zone, 1287 2TM and 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley.
I've had a couple of little options today, but Solomon the Tortoise is one that I quite like. Solomon the Tortoise went on quite an adventure during an unplanned summer vacation in the States, of course, in Ashton, Tennessee. He left on June 8 and he's just returned this week. He was a 36-inch long, so a 3-foot-long tortoise. He got away from his owner. What did they say when he got away? Did you let your turtle escape? Your tortoise escaped? Yeah, it all happened so quickly, I just didn't even see what happened. The owner, Mr. Cole, Lynn Cole, she's had the 15-year-old tortoise since he was a hatchling the size of a ping pong ball. He's now 3 foot long and still growing, and of course they can live till they're about 100. It's one of those big tortoises. You can have anything for a pet in the US. She put up signs and hundreds of flyers and posted Solomon's pictures all over social media. Maybe she should have just had a look, because you wouldn't think he would have got that far. And that's correct. After 74 days, they found him 200 metres away from where he was missing. So she probably walked past him five or six times, I reckon. While she was out putting up signs and flyers and posting things all over the internet, maybe she just should have just had a look. She reached out to zoos, animal rescue groups in the national... Didn't ring Pet Patrol, I noticed. Sulcata tortoises are found in North Africa along the southern edge of the Sahara Desert. Solomon has a heated enclosure at home, so she keeps him nice and warm. And Cole was worried he wouldn't survive once the weather gets a bit colder, but it's all had a happy ending. If you knew the number of searches that were launched by ourselves and other community groups and individuals, he just eluded our ability to spot him. He was too fast for us. They found the tortoise at a home construction site just 200 metres from her home. She and her husband rushed. They rushed. The tortoise was tired, hungry and caked in mud, but seems to be in good health after his odyssey. He's a vegetarian and was able to eat grass, dandelions and other flies. How do they know that? How do they know he wasn't smashing a Big Mac? They don't know. She said she's taking him to the vet on Monday to be sure he's okay, and he's watching him like a hawk until then. I think if he survives 74 days in the wilderness of, you know, down the next street, I think he'll be all right. She said she gave Solomon a big bowl of his favourite foods once he got home, including collard greens, broccoli, cauliflower and watermelon rinds, along with some bananas and carrots. Cole isn't sure how Solomon got loose. It all happened so fast. Not sure how. How do you know it's not going to happen again then? How do you know he doesn't just stand up on his hind legs and run? Well, you're not looking. But they've reinforced his area to keep it from ever happening again. A happy ending to that one, I'll tell you what. And that's what's happening in the good old US of A. What's grey and lights up? An elephant when you tell them they're beautiful.
Wake up and face the day with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley. Tamworth Zone, 1287 2TM.
Well, the truth sometimes comes out, doesn't it? I started reading this story. I thought it was a bit of a crackpot story, but it's actually... not. Mexico finds a COVID-19 villain in Coca-Cola. While touring the southern Chiapas state last month, Mexico's coronavirus head honcho took aim at the local vice he considers culpable for the country's ongoing pandemic problems. Coca-Cola consumption. I thought, oh, okay, here we go. Here's a story about how Coca-Cola now causes coronavirus. But he's connected soda consumption or Coke consumption with COVID-19 deaths, blaming sugar for causing comorbidities such as obesity, diabetes, and hypertension. These are problems that are common in Mexico, where almost three-quarters of the population is overweight, according to a study by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Why do we need bottled poison in soft drinks, he said. Health in Mexico would be very different if we stopped being deceived by these lifestyles sold on television and heard on radio, in which we see adverts as if this was happiness. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? Those are three of the main comorbidities, obesity, diabetes, and hypertension, that actually don't do you any good at all if you do happen to come down with a respiratory disease such as COVID-19. Mexico only trails Brazil and United States in total pandemic fatalities. And Lopez Gatell, who's the health minister there, he has increasingly pinned Mexico's pandemic problems on its poor nutrition habits, Coca-Cola consumption chief amongst them. Coke is the most popular drink, incidentally, everywhere in the world except Scotland. Did you know that? I don't know where that one came from. They've got a drink over there called Urnbrew, I-R-N-B-R-U, Urnbrew. And the Urnbrew is the most popular soft drink in Scotland. So there you go. But in Mexico, unfortunately, Coca-Cola is so common. It's so cheap. They sell it so cheap over there. And it is a terrible, terrible thing for them over there. And of course, Mexico's, they drink an average of 163 litres per head over in Mexico. So that's per year. 163 litres per year, that's about a can a day for everybody. One can of Coke every day for every person in that population, which is enormous consumption. It's no surprise that Coca-Cola Company is advertising so heavily down there because it's a huge market for them. Unfortunately, it's not doing them any good in the coronavirus. So I started off reading that as here we go. Here's a crackpot story about Coke causing coronavirus. But you know what? It's probably true.